massive breakthroughs with the Lord recently. And, you know, he's had breakthroughs, but something's happened where it's just a consistent, constant breakthrough for him. And, of course, y'all all know that back in Mother's Day, not last, but the one before, what God did here and what the Lord spoke to us and what anybody who was hungry and thirsty and would pursue the Lord was entering into just a constant place of breakthrough, just constant. And y'all, the Lord has been so faithful. That's exactly what it's been like. And Craig can't be here. He misses everybody. But he's experiencing it too, y'all. He's just, I mean, that's God, though. We all know that. We know that's our Father. We all know that. So I was sitting there this morning, and I was telling the Lord, just kind of, Craig's just talking to me, and he would get up and have coffee real early in the morning because he does good in the mornings, but by the time the afternoon rolls around, not so wonderful. And so we were having coffee, and he's talking, and he goes, I'm really sorry to ask you this, honey, but I know you have a lot on your mind, but I'm really hungry. And he goes, would you make me some French toast? And normally, funny, Craig would, he would kind of hem-haw around until I offered the French toast. And I'd forget to even think about French toast because, you know, I'm just like, well, what do you want? But anyway, I got up and I was walking to the kitchen and I'm thinking, gosh, I have so much on my mind. Man, why is he asking me to do French toast right now? I was just thinking this. I'm not dare going to say it because, you know, he can't help what's going on. But as I'm going in there, I'm not just thinking this. I'm having this conversation with the Lord and I'm steadily hearing the Lord say, Thank me for this. Thank me for this. You know, I'm just having that conversation that you have that you know. And so I just surrendered to it in that moment and said, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I walked away from that couch thinking, oh, God, I can't believe you're asking me to do this right now. You know, I've got things on my mind. And by the time I got to the kitchen and started doing it, I was like, you know, Craig, you need some French toast. You haven't had any in a while. And I wanted to make up for that, make sure he didn't think I had an attitude, or I didn't want him to feel, not because I didn't want him to think that about me. I didn't want him to feel like he was a burden, you know, because I've plenty of times complained, and he said to me, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about it. I will cry if we talk about that. So anyway, I'm sitting in there, and I went, got his French toast, and we sat down, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, that's the most significant thing you've done today, and it's the most significant thing you're going to do today. And I was like, wow, fixing that toast, for that French toast for him. And I thought, you know, Lord, I do love being his wife, and I love that I got to love on him this morning. So there's a great example of what Bishop's been talking about. So my experience, and y'all know a little bit of it, in my experience, for me, the Lord started years ago having to just woo me into a place of believing that I was his and that he really liked me and really loved me. And in this place that Bishop's talking about getting to about loving joyfully, okay? You only can give away what you have. So if you don't know that you are loved, and I'm not just talking about words, but I'm talking about revelation that makes a difference in your emotions, in your thoughts, in your responses. It makes a difference to you, okay? There's that love where you blew it, but you know you're loved. You know, it's like the Song of Solomon, the three stages of love sickness. The first one was, he is mine, I am his. But the first thing she said was, he is mine. The Lord woos us into this place where we know we have him. We have him. We know we're loved. We know when we blow it, we're going to be loved. Okay? Then you have The second place, second revelation wave of I am his and he is mine. The first thing she thinks about is I'm his. I belong to him. This is not my life. I don't get to dictate what I do and don't do. But still, he is mine too. Okay, I blew it, but I'm loved. I'm dark, but I'm lovely. I'm blowing it left and right, but I'm loved. You know, you're still, you've got this consciousness of, I belong to him, and I really want to do, I really want to surrender. I really want to walk in your ways, Lord. I really want to give this up, and I want to give that up, and I want to make the right choices. But you're still just kind of leaning into that place where if God said, hey, this right here would not be profitable for everyone around you, so why don't you lay this down? But you're still going, not quite ready for that. Thank God I'm loved. And that's real. That is real. Jesus is not going to, he is not going to reject you. That love is real. You can blow it a million times. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to get mad at you. He's not going to condemn you. He's not, you know what the meaning of condemnation is, look of, literally means a look of anger, a look of disappointment, a look of frustration. Condemnation literally means that. And I can't remember the exact word. It's a look of disapproval. That's literally, he said there's no condemnation, and he used that word on purpose. He literally says, I'm never going to look at you with disapproval. That doesn't mean that he doesn't talk to us and show us things, but it's the way he does it. He never has rejection in his voice. In those places, y'all, in that place of security, in that place of knowing how loved you are. See, all this time, God is just pumping love into you, pumping love into you, pumping security into you, pumping into you this understanding of who you are to him, that he cherishes us and he loves us. All that stuff's not wasted. When we blow it, he moves right in and loves us through it, because he knows there's coming a time when we're going to sail into that third stage where I am his and he is, and his desire is for me. So I was sitting the other day and I was just really thinking about that. She there in her speech there, she's not thinking anymore about what he can do for her. She's thinking about him. I'm his. He owns me. This is about him. And his desire is for me. His desire is for me to be where he is. His desire is for me to, so if God is love, and he is love, he is actual love, you could literally see love walking around because he is love. And he desires us to be where he is. He is love. So he desires, he was making French toast for Craig this morning. He desired me to be in that place of love because I'm in him when I do that. His desire is for my emotions to understand, for me to comprehend who I am in Christ, that and who he is in me. We're in union with him, so therefore we're in union with his emotions. We're in union with what he thinks. We're in union with his faith. We're in union with his joy. I like joy. I like joy. And if God says I can have joy, if I'll give this attitude up, he can have that attitude. I'm telling you. Let me just tell y'all this. Attitudes toward people, unforgiveness, y'all, that's Christianity 101. That's not even Christianity 101. That's those classes that you take at college that don't even get a credit, because you have to have that so that you can get into those classes that you get a credit. Of all things, you may not realize when you have an attitude, but he's faithful to show us. It's the surrender that, no, I will not. Lord, here, I surrender to you. I will not walk in unforgiveness. I will not walk in an attitude. Y'all, that's the very basic. Because here's the deal. You cannot have an attitude and be experiencing Jesus. And guess what that means? He's not experiencing you. And he wants us to be where he is. He wants us to, we were created to experience him. We were created for him to experience us. He wants us to understand who we are, because he wants to fellowship with us. And the more revelation we have of that, the more you're going to hear him. If you really believe you're loved, you'll hear that still small voice that speaks to you, guides and directs you. You'll hear that still small voice that speaks to you in the wee hours of the morning, or when you have this stress closing in around you. You'll hear that still small voice of going, be still. Know I'm God. Trust me. I kept saying, Lord, now are you sure I don't need to go do this or that? And he would just say, I said, no, I need you to speak to me. And I would hear something just cut through the noise. Trust me. I was like, okay, okay, I got it. And you know what? He patiently and lovingly let me ask him that about 10 times. He didn't care. He just didn't care. He just kept sweetly saying, trust me. And y'all, we all know in God's presence is fullness of joy. We know that his voice sounds like waters. Sounds like waters. What does water do? Who doesn't like to sit on, well, maybe you don't, but most people, 99% of the people, like sitting on a beach and watching the waves. Like the sound of it. Like the sound of rain, you know? So, we're living in days in this world. And this isn't, I know I just walked forward and looked at that, but I couldn't even see it. I'm really seriously having to trust the Lord here. But we are living in days like we've never seen. And I've said this a million times. We've never seen days like this. About 5 or 6 years ago, we were at a conference, and people began popping up saying this. And they said, where the next move of God, the next revival, will be about identity. And that it'll be about us becoming the bride, knowing who we are as the bride of Christ, but going into this place of our identity. And what happened immediately, you saw in the natural that people's identity, like what Bishop was talking about, people's identity has been very, very challenged. It's insane. It's insane what kids are dealing with now and so forth. And but the whole thing about our identity is this, being where he is, love. Love is the thing that sets us apart from everybody else, is that other love, God, the other love. And you can't know other love, something other than you and your human love, unless something not human, something other than you, shows you, right? So to know the love of God has to come through revelation. And so that's what sets us apart, is our countenance, y'all. Our countenance sets us apart from the world. There's this real love of God. That's why it's an identity thing, because he wants us to know that kind of love and walk in that kind of love that only he can show us, only he can do. It's different than the world. The world doesn't like each other. The world doesn't forgive each other. The world gets mad at each other. The world gets impatient with each other. The world treats each other like that. I am watching all over Facebook Christians attacking Christians. I watched people attack whoever wrote, the guy who wrote the book, what is that version of the Bible people just, The Passion. The Passion. I don't know if y'all like that or not, but my gosh, if you've ever read it, you may not agree with everything, but there's some stuff in there that is beautiful, and it is right up God's alley. It is like, you couldn't know this about the Lord or see this unless he showed it to you, you know? He may not, that guy may not have all his theology right. Well, hey, so don't use that part. But here's the deal. We don't have our theology right either, y'all. None of us do. Nobody knows everything about God. I promise us, all of us, we all believe things about God that are not true, and we all don't know things about God that is true, that are true. So that's our difference, y'all. Our difference, we should look different. The way we respond, the way we treat each other, giving preferential treatment to those around us. You know, I mean, we can look in the Bible and you get, there are like some ABCs there about love is kind, love is patient, love is this. So you know when you're not being patient, you know that's not the Lord. And God is faithful. Because if you're, there are three stages to falling in love with him. I mean, there's probably more, but, and I'm just talking about these three. But you've got that beginning stage where you fail. You've got that beginning stage where you just don't really, you know, always get it right. And then you've got that second stage where you just really, really start wanting it really bad. And then that third stage where you're going, I don't have any rights. I don't have, and not, you're still going to blow it. But it's different. It's different. It's like the accounts get shorter. It's like you start to blow it, but it's real quick you don't want to. Well, I have three daughters. I have four daughters, actually. One of them's out west. But the ones that are here not the youngest one. Let me go ahead and tell you this. Not the youngest one. She is, they'll never see this, so I'm not worried about it. But she's like a breath of fresh air. She is almost always in a good mood. And she's amazing. The other two are amazing. I mean, they have great hearts, super good hearts. But man, they can make me so mad. I mean, so the other, it wasn't that long ago. It was probably, I don't know, maybe last year or something like that. But anyway, in the recent past, I got really, really mad at one of them. And I just screamed at her. I was just at the end of my rope, and I just went, ah, you know. And I mean, immediately, my heart broke. And I looked at her, and I thought, oh, my God. And I said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And I thought, my heart broke so intensely. Now, I'm telling y'all, I wasn't expecting my heart to break. That took me by surprise. It took me by surprise. It was just the Lord. But I thought, because I'd been walking in just like this place of joy and this place of just peace, and I was just rocking it, you know? It was just like having fun and life is good. And all of a sudden, I was, all of a sudden, I just snapped on her. And not that she didn't deserve it, but she didn't deserve it. But my heart broke because I thought, oh, my God, I don't ever want to treat her like that. I just completely forgot what she had done. It didn't matter anymore. It didn't matter. How I had just treated her was horrific. And the look on her face, and I thought, I never want to see that look again, ever. And there were years before that I would yell at her, And I didn't have that same brokenheartedness. Later on, I'd think about it and go, oh, I shouldn't have yelled, blah, blah, I'm sorry. But you know, you tell them not to do something over and over and over again. But here's what happened. So after this long 18, 19, 20-year journey of telling them to do certain things and them not doing it, and telling them not to do certain things and them doing it, all of a sudden I thought, you know, Lord, I don't even care anymore. Not that I don't care like I wish they wouldn't, but it wasn't worth it. Fussing at them wasn't worth it because God doesn't fuss. He doesn't fuss at me. And I was thinking to myself, all the things that God has convicted me of, the times that he's convicted me, and I did it anyway. And he just loved me. He loved me into a place of surrenderedness. Yes. He loved me into that. And I just started, you know, I just thought, that's it. I'm just loving them. I'm just going to love them. If I have to walk to the end of the house to go find my makeup or whatever else, it's fine. It just is fine. It's just okay. I'm just going to love them. I'm not going to fuss at them anymore. And oddly, there have been some real changes. I shouldn't say oddly. What would I expect? If you know what I'm saying? If you obey the Lord, you can expect him to move, right? So our countenance is different than everybody else's. And the way we treat people is different. And it should be different. Our identity is foreign, you know? It's foreign to us. And so it takes God showing it to us. I'm thinking where we're going from here. Such a good day to know the Lord. There was another point. It's back here. There was something, because Bishop pointed it out. Craig and I were just sitting and talking the other day about, I was just brought up very legalistically. Most people were, okay? But in how I was brought up, I was kind of brought up in a very faith-based world, you know? I was brought up to, you know, you try to become great in the kingdom of God. You know, you try to achieve, you try to become the most spiritual, the one that walks in the most patience, and the one that walks in blah, 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 most faith and all that. And you look around and you think that all these people that are up on stage are rock stars, because we've discussed this. There are no rock stars in the kingdom of God. It is all him. It is all him. Quicker we learn that, quicker we settle these things in our soul and just start digging in and pursuing the Lord and believing we're going to find him, the better off we are, okay? So we settle this right here and right now that God's not trying to make me great. That is not his goal. That is not his goal. He's not trying to make me where I can get up there and sing without making a mistake or stand up here, and that is not his goal for me. His very goal and purpose for me is to fellowship with him, to know his power, and to understand my weakness, to embrace my weakness, okay? And so I was brought up not knowing that, but God's goal is for us to lean into his greatness. And leaning into his greatness actually makes you get to fellowship, and you get to walk in, and you get to experience his glory. You get to experience his glory, because, and then it makes you look like you're great, but it's super important Yeah, it's super important, though, for everyone to know that there aren't any rock stars. There's nothing more special about someone else than yourself. That's the first thing that has to be settled, that you're loved, you're special, you're unique. God wants everything for you that he wants for someone else. Not assignments, we all know that. But there's that place in you that's got to be settled that you're loved. And that that's not going away. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to turn his heart away from you. He's not going to turn his face away from you. He's not going to look at you with disgust. It's okay to run to him. And that's the first thing that has to be settled. And then when you blow it, you're not so blown away because you don't expect anything else. You know what I mean? You expect everything from him. You expect his strength, and you expect that from him. But you don't put those expectations on other people, and you don't put them on yourself. You just pursue him. You just go after him. And if you fail, well, of course, I'm human, but Lord, forgive me. And you just click right back in because he's not trying to make us great in and of ourselves. He's just not. That's not his purpose. His purpose is for us to know his greatness and his fellowship. So that's been my story, and that's been the story of what's going on here at our church. And I fully, really believe in my heart that one of the reasons that we haven't seen, now I could be wrong, but one of the reasons that we haven't seen more physical healings is because I think God is really, really, really teaching us how to love first. Because, number one, he doesn't just want one person or two people to be operating in the power of healing. He doesn't want that. He wants his church to rise up because it takes the entire church moving across this world. It's going to take everybody. It takes everybody knowing who they are and rising up and everybody praying for the sick and everybody believing. If you in your heart don't think that you can get a prophetic word, there's a place that you don't know you're loved. If you don't think you can pray for the sick, there's a place you don't know you're loved. Because if you know you're loved, then you know you can do those things. Because it's him. And if you experience his love, it's literally him. He's literally emptying you of yourself. You literally get that it's not you. Humility, that's why we grow in humility. That's why we grow in putting people first. Because he is humble. He doesn't have to be. But he was. And he is. When this Almighty God is looking at you and you know your stuff, but he's looking at you and he's just loving on you and just telling you how wonderful you are and how amazing you are, and you're just being engulfed by his love and it's other than you, you just start believing that about yourself. You hear him telling you you're wonderful, you begin to believe you're wonderful. You hear him saying, you can pray for the sick. You begin to believe you can pray for the sick. You hear him saying that you can prophesy or you can teach or whatever. You can be a mom. You can be a dad. You can be a wife. You can be a husband. And y'all, it does matter how we treat each other. If you don't treat someone with love, then you don't know you're loved. You don't know you're loved. You can say it all day long, but if it doesn't break your heart when you don't love that person, then you don't know you're loved. One way to know somebody that really knows they're loved is you'll see love coming out of them. If you find someone who's just angry, someone who snaps at you, or someone who just has just losing it all the time, it doesn't mean they're not trying, but it does mean that they've yet to understand how loved they are. And then we go full circle, because if you can see that, what is God asking you to do? Walk in patience, walk in love to them, and love them into that place. Testimony of Mark, wait, what's that guy that came to our church? Dan Moeller. The testimony of Dan Moeller. He was lost for years. His wife prayed for him. He got saved, and he fell in love with Jesus, and he met really strongly with the Lord and his identity. He just did. And his wife, she went through a season where she didn't know who she was. And so 8 years, he got up every single day thinking to himself, I'm not looking to her to meet one need of mine. I'm going to love her into this place. And 8 years before she encountered the Lord and found out who she was and her identity, and it changed her. She began to, whatever it was she was doing, he didn't go into details, but it must have been rough. And so if we treat each other like that, it's because we don't know we're loved. Craig and I, I don't know when it happened, but you would think, we've been married 26 years, you would think it would have happened a long time ago, but it wasn't. It was pretty recent, like in the last year. We just all of a sudden started talking about just how comfortable we had gotten snapping at each other, you know? And, we would apologize. I'm never really super comfortable. We would apologize to each other, but something just broke, and we just started, and it's because this encountering the Lord, as we were just encountering this new, just this revelation of grace and stuff, we just started saying, we're not going to talk to each other like this anymore. We're going to give each other mercy, and if you accidentally snap at me, I don't have to snap back at you. I can give you mercy, because his heart really wasn't to snap at me. It really wasn't, and I could give him mercy, and he could give me mercy. We haven't been perfect in it by any means, but that's our goal. And and I love it because my children see it. My children, they see that. They say that we have the best relationship of all their friends. They don't know anybody else. And I'm so grateful for that. That's God. That is God. If anyone knew me years ago, you're looking at me, and if you knew me years ago, you're going, it's God. You know? You're going, it's God. Well, that's it. That's all I've got that I wanted to share today. You know? One thing that I do, and I do it on very, very, this is my prayer all the time. If I see a place in me where I'm walking in fear, or where I've yet to surrender, and if I see a place, like say I'm out in the marketplace and I think, God, that person could use prayer, and I'm like, God, no, don't do it. I just start saying, I know God's not mad at me or anything like that. I used to walk away and think, oh my God, that person might have got healed. What have I done? I am just their salvation, and I've just blown it for them. That's how I would feel when I blew it in that. I mean, but that is condemnation, by the way. That is condemnation, to make you think that it is catastrophic that you blew it. It's not. That's condemnation. So when I see places in me where I've yet to really, like, walking in victory in that, where I'm not seeing myself go for it, and I just say, Lord, I need to know how you love me here. I need to know I'm loved in this place. I need to see it. I've got water to wade in, you know. I've gone a little bit deeper. I've got water to wade in, but God, I want more. I want to get out there in the ocean where I don't have any control, and you say do it, and I'm yielded to you, and I'm compelled by love to go pray for that person. I am not there yet, but I want to be. And here's our promise. God said, if you want it, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, I will fill you. I will meet you there. That's a promise over and over and over again in the Bible. He's not looking for perfection. He's perfect, but he's not a perfectionist. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for hunger and thirst. And then hunger and thirst leads to surrenderedness. Surrenderedness leads to swimming in waters that are over your head, that you can't control anything. Waves are everywhere, and you're just along for the ride. And then after a while, I would imagine, because I really want this, I would imagine after a while, you get to where you just kind of float on your back. And you just let the waves wash over you, and you just kind of flow and go wherever God wants you to go. I would imagine that's what it would be like. That's my goal. That's my heart. That's all of y'all's heart. I know that. I know that. And so I'm just going to say this one more time. It's super, 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 super important that we slam dunk the first part. And that is that we are loved. And that anybody, let me rephrase that. And that everybody is called to that place of intimacy with God. Everybody is called to fullness of Christ. Everybody's called to have a life where Jesus is loving through them, where he's praying for the sick, where he's giving words. He's not trying to expect anything out of you that you're going to go out and do all this right now. If you're just in the place of, okay, Lord, I want to know that love. I want to know the kind of love that makes me fully secure that you're not going to leave me. And so now I can begin to surrender when I'm late and things aren't going my way. I can surrender to those waves and it's okay, Lord. I can trust you that you're doing it right because you're really in control and you really do love me. When you get, got to slam dunk those places. You got to go for those places. You got to know in your soul that you're loved and that he's got you in his hand. And he'll love you into that surrender. He'll love you into that place. That's our first place, y'all. I don't know who all's there. I don't know. I'm not with you guys every single day, you know. But that's our first place. Everybody is called to the fullness of Christ. Everybody. It's for everybody. So, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would come. That's a dumb prayer. Lord, I thank you that you're already here and that you've already come and you've already done. We thank you, Lord. We pray you seal in the words you want us to remember. Seal in those words, God. Lord, I just pray, Father, revelation upon revelation. I'm going to tell one more story. Just because if you haven't had that revelation that rocks your world, the one that you're never the same again and you never question his love again. When I was about 22, I think I was, I started reading this book called Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Great book. Anyway, I was just happened to be reading that book. And I started walking with the Lord, going to church here, when I was 18 years old. And I would see people, and there were some people, and I thought, they really know God loves them. They know that God loves them. And I would say, I know here that God loves me. And I would say it all day long, but I didn't know here that God loves me. I didn't know it right here. And so I started seeking the Lord. Now, I don't know why it took me so long to get it, but it did. So this is a word of encouragement to anybody else who's in this place. But I started just going after the Lord. Lord, I want to know. I want that revelation. I want to know that you love me. I want to know it. I want it to make a difference in my world. And so one day, I was sitting having my quiet time with the Lord because we all know if you don't spend time with the Lord, it's like Moses. You go to a retreat, you get filled up, but if you don't keep filling up, the glory fades, right? So you have to keep filling up. But I was just seeking the Lord, and I'll never forget, I can still see it And I'll never will. When I'm 100, if I make it that far, not that I want to because I don't, but if I were to make it to 100, I will remember this. I will never forget it. But I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, and I could feel, this was going on for about 3 or 4 days, so it was really cool. I could feel something literally physically stirring inside of me. I could feel it. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there, and I went, oh, my God, he loves me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And, I mean, I was just like, I see it. Isn't that weird how revelation works? How you just, I heard about grace for years, y'all, for years. I cried out, Lord, I'm hearing it, but I know I'm not getting it. I know I'm not. I can feel I'm not getting it. And that Mother's Day, from that Mother's Day on, I've had my world rocked because I can see it. I understand now the grace of God. I get it now, you know? So that's, you keep pursuing God. If you've not, you don't let him. You don't give him a break. You don't let go until he ministers to you what you need. Because that's what he's doing. He's trying to get you to come. Amen? Okay. It's coffee time.